All right, so we're here, we're live. This is episode 5 of Another Texans podcast. My name is Patrick Storm, and I have a co-host named John Crumpler who's running a little bit late tonight. So we're just going to go ahead and get it started and kick off with everything here. And so welcome, and I appreciate everyone that is here and listening right now. So today we have the initial 53-man roster come out. We had a lot of, or a few unexpected cuts, some that weren't so surprising, obviously, and then some other major news with Kenyon Green getting placed on the IR. So we'll cover that as well. Like I said, John will be here running along a few minutes late, but you know, it's not a big deal. We can handle things without him for now. But I'll start it off, and you know, we'll pick up whenever he gets in here and see how things are going. So the news was coming down slow today about who all was getting cut and let off the roster. And a lot of stuff wasn't very surprising when it, you know, when it was all said and done. If you give me a second here, I'm going to pull up the entire, the cuts that were made instead of just going over the roster. We'll do that whenever Sean gets or John gets in here. But you know, we saw guys like Jacob Martin, Roy Lopez, let's see who else, Cam Dantzler, you know, a lot of guys that people thought were going to make the initial 53, Desmond King. Yeah, you're right, Beige. And you know, guys like that that didn't make the roster. And there's gonna be some guys that eventually they're gonna get, you know, they'll get brought back. And you know, guys like Michael Dieter, that's rumored that he may end up back on the 53 after a day or so. Some guys had to carry on the initial 53, so that way they can put him on IR and then be able to activate him after, you know, 4 or 5 weeks, depending on how their injury is. So we may see guys that made the initial 53 for a few days that won't be here in a week, and definitely not for week one. So there's still a lot of moving parts that are going to happen with this roster, and so it's one of those things we kind of take it with a grain of salt right now and just see how things, you know, see how things are going to go. There's going to be a lot of changes still, and so right now I'm not really that upset with anything. I'm trying to find the, there it is, Sean. All right, so let's see. We had Thomas Booker got cut, draft pick here recently. Cam Dantzler, we talked about that. Khalil Davis was a training camp pickup. A lot of people thought was going to make it, and you know, he showed some flashes and some positive things. And so it's kind of unfortunate that he didn't make it, but there's definitely a good chance that he's come back. Brandon Hill was a draft 7th round pick for this year that did not make the initial 53. Very possible that he makes the practice squad. Let's see who else. Jimmy Morrissey, EJ Perry. I figured that one was going to happen. Garrett Wallow, another recent one of Nick Caserio's original draft picks that did not make the initial 53. Michael Dieter, we covered that. Adam Humphries, we kind of saw that coming. Desmond King was definitely one of the surprises. Veteran guy who's played pretty well over the past couple of years. This could have been a case where they approached him to take a pay cut, and he wasn't really willing to. Veteran guy, he can latch on somewhere else. So we'll see. Jacob Martin, that one kind of shocked me a little bit. I figured he played well enough in the preseason and during camp and stuff like that to make the 53, but you know, we'll see what happens. He may end up back here in a few weeks. Steven Sims, not really shocked on that one. For punt return, you know, special teams reasons and stuff like that. In the first game of the preseason, there was a punt that I'd have to go back and look and see exactly what it was, but I feel like he had probably about 30 yards of free space in front of him. If he could have gone up and gotten the ball and picked up some yards, and he stood back like Kiki Kuti used to, and just didn't go. It just wasn't aggressive enough. So, you know, it is what it is when it comes to him. Nick Vanette, that one, or Eric Tomlinson. I thought maybe one of those guys would have been the third tight end. So we'll, you know, they're carrying Brevin Jordan right now. He's still hurt, but they've carried him onto the initial 53. That may be a case of one of those ones where they brought him onto the 53 and then decide to place him on IR for a few weeks and bring one of these other veterans back. So we'll see. One thing to keep in mind is veterans, guys that have more than 4 years of service time, are not susceptible to waivers. So you're not getting put on waivers. You're released outright. You're a street free agent at this point. And, you know, you're free to sign wherever. But this may be one of those things where they just say, hey, we're going to go and let you go right now. Give us 48 hours, 72 hours. We'll bring you back. We just got to make some, you know, other roster moves and go from there. Here's John. Let me bring him on here. Add to.
Hi.
Good evening, man. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
Okay.
Thanks for coming on.
Of course. I'm sorry that I'm late for anyone listening, anyone watching. I'm in Charlotte this week, spending some time with my girlfriend, and we were finishing up date night. We made some cookies that I was eating, and I was like, Storm, I'm going to need a minute. Don't get to be here a lot, so trying to make the most of it. Big day with the Texans, though. Big, big day. Definitely want to get into it. I got to ask, what did you tackle in the first 5 minutes?
I just kind of just ran through some of the names that got let go. That was really about it.
Okay.
Nothing too deep, so we can absolutely go back through that. And then there's obviously some bigger news that we need to get into. So
do we just want to start with the big news? Because I have so many thoughts about the overarching implications about what this means for the general manager, for CJ Stroud. Can we start with the big thing?
Let's go. Let's do it.
All right. Yeah. Well, for anyone listening, what was it? Maybe an hour after roster cutdown, maybe 2 hours, it was announced that King and Green, Houston's first round pick in 2022 and 15th overall selection, will miss the entirety of the 2023 season. Storm, your initial thoughts on that?
I mean, it sucks, right? Like, it just absolutely sucks. And I put this out the other day that my expectations for him are kind of fading. And I had some really big hope for him coming into the season. I was really hoping that things would turn around. Where'd you go? Well, just keep going. But, you know, stuff happens and, you know, he didn't look great. And then he was out there running with the twos yesterday. And, you know, so I think that was kind of indicative of how they felt, how things were going with him. And then we saw him get put in a blender by Brian Breesy and grab his shoulder or his arm. And he left the game and didn't return. So that was a little scary. And then now comes out today that he's being put on season-ending IR, and he's going to have shoulder surgery. And it makes you think, though, because yesterday, I don't know, did you catch D'Amico's press conference yesterday?
I did not, actually. What was the comment on Ken? I was it like the quote of like someone along the lines of he's fought through some stuff this offseason?
Yeah. Yeah. So it makes me think that obviously there's the shoulder injury, right? If he's having surgery, there's definitely something there. But one would think unless the shoulder is completely destroyed, then there would be a chance for him to come back at some point during the season, right? I'm not a doctor. You're going to be there soon. So it begs the question is what else is going on? What else is going on with Kenyon Green? Obviously they're not going to tell us everything. They're going to try to protect the kid as much as possible. And I get it. it's just a 15th overall selection a year ago. And now we're talking about the possibility of there's fitness issues. There's been questions about him being in shape and overweight and just, you know, so like you said, like you kind of alluded to earlier, it brings into question the GM, right? It starts to – you got to start to question some of the choices that are being made.
Yeah, let me tackle this from a player standpoint, and then let's work by – because I really think there are three big components to this news that are worth addressing individually. First, King and Green, the player, is the obvious one, and I want to talk about that a little as well. I mean, it is a huge disappointment. I think you look at how this roster was constructed – and not just for this year, but you really look at the three-year plan of this team. And I think the idea was, if you look at the investment, if you look at this is the most expensive offensive line in football, and it would be even more expensive if not for a first and second round pick that are supposed to play center and left guard, of course, which both will be absent for week one in Baltimore. Losing King and Green for the season it really throws that development plan off track. I think this was a unit that you would hope would be one of the best offensive lines in the National Football League moving forward. And for a season that I think you would have hoped that Kenyon Green took the step forward to average and showed signs that he can be more than average, all of a sudden that is totally gone. Our most recent impression, like you were talking about, is going to be these preseason games against Miami and New Orleans where I mean, specifically New Orleans, he was playing with the second team. He was a backup guard on this team just 1 year after being a first-round pick. Raises the question, are they going to get even a starting caliber player from that trade? And we're going to talk about the Nick Caserio angle, but this is one of the two pieces you got from the Deshaun Watson trade with how you chose to spend your resources. You got, I guess, you know, you got Damian Pierce too because the trade back to 15, but you really needed this first round pick to hit. And now you're not just asking, hey, is this guy going to be a really good productive player for you? Does Houston even have a starting NFL player right now in Kenyon Green? And the question is, we don't know, and we're not going to have the opportunity to find out. And kind of the interesting spin is that, you know, will he get that opportunity to find out as Houston takes a ton of cap space into next offseason in a season where I think when you're looking at year two of C.J. Stroud, when you're looking at year two of D'Amico Ryan's defense, it's going to be time to compete, time to try to win the division, time to make the wild card. This has been a bad team for a long time. I think they'll take a step forward this year, but there will be real expectations on the 2024 Houston Texans. And is that going to align with Kenyon Green's timeline where this is going to be a tenable situation for him with what we've seen so far? I do not know. I'm going to talk a little bit about the Nick Caserio angle, and then I'd love to get your thoughts on it. I mean, I think this past draft has the potential to save Nick Caserio. I think you took two guys who are very likely going to hit. I really love C.J. Stroud's profile, especially in this offense. It's going to be very difficult for him to be bad in this, and I think it's going to move him along at a good rate for a young NFL quarterback. And I think Will Anderson was considered a slam dunk in the draft for very obvious reasons. But it's time to start talking about those first two drafts, and especially this past draft when right now we're looking at, okay, you passed on the all-pro NFL corner, which, you know, we're not ready to talk about that yet. We all want to see Derek Stingley in a more modern defense. We want to see him play some of this cover three, more press heavy stuff that D'Amico Ryans employs. But your second pick, you took Kenyon Green, and people are using the B word on Twitter. I don't want to use it yet, but are you ready? Do you think that's fair to use? Of course, the B word we're talking about in this case is bust. Do you think this opens the conversation already for 1 year in?
It's getting there, and there's no commenting on the stream. It's getting there, man. And it's scary. And I feel bad for the kid. I really do.
Yeah.
Right. And you can look and see who else was drafted around him, who was just drafted just a few picks after him, Zion Johnson, Tyler Lindebaum, you know, even on the defensive side of the ball. And it just, it begs the question of what, and not just Nick Caserio, because Nick is not solo in all this. Yeah, he's got maybe, you know, he's got the final say in who's, you know, who's actually picked and who's signed and stuff like that. There's a whole room of talent evaluators over there and coaches that are making these decisions. And it's like, you know, man, what is really the conversation that's being had over there? Because that was a heavy investment, the 15th overall pick, and they could have easily gone in another direction. And who's to say that, you know, anybody else works out in this situation, but it's just one of those things where you're sitting there and you're like, Derek Stingley goes down with an injury last season. Now you've got Kenyon Green that was last off season, wasn't healthy, played the season, wasn't great, had surgery again this season, and now he's going on IR having surgery again. Yeah. And so, like you said, it's one of those things where Derek Stingley has got to be a hit. Like, there's just no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Like,
because I think what? So, Davis.
Like, he can't just be good. He needs to be really good.
Yeah. Because outside of what? Davis Mills, Brevin Jordan, who else is left from the initial draft class now?
Nico Collins. So, you've got three of the five.
Three of the five. That's not great. And I get it. It's not it wasn't the best draft class to begin with, right? Like, the expectations for them were kind of.
Wait, let's pause there, though, because they did trade four picks, I believe, to go up for Nico Collins and three picks to go up for Garrett Wallow. So, you know, it didn't have to be a five-man class in 2021. This is going to open another can of worms. But I do think stuff like this is starting to expose some of the holes. And we love that Nick Caserio is aggressive and targeting players that he likes in the draft. Mm-hmm. But when you have smaller draft classes like this, especially in a season like 2021 and 2022, when your team wasn't going to compete for anything, you intentionally took less throws at the dartboard. And all of a sudden you really need you just have less opportunities for these guys to work out. So when someone like a Kenyon Green looks like this, it becomes all the more devastating. And Pat, I think one of the hard parts about this pick is I don't think anyone was mocking. And this, you know, this is a dumb reason, but I'm just saying this is how fans think. I think this is how I think, just as the draft is a value exercise. I did not see Kenyon Green really mocked in the top 15 prior to the actual NFL draft. You know, I think the most common names that you saw there, you did see some Zion Johnson because he was really riding a really strong Senior Bowl performance. You saw Tyler Linderbaum kind of heralded as the top interior offensive lineman before some measurement concerns came in. You saw a guy like Kyle Hamilton, and you know that opens a big can of worms of what if, would they have still drafted Jalen Petrie? But I mean, in my opinion, you could have had both. It really could have been a best player available exercise last year because nothing that you did was about winning in 2022. Everything was about winning in 2023 and realistically in 2024 and beyond. So, I mean, you passed on Hamilton, you passed on Linderbaum, you passed on Jordan Davis. The one time that Nick could have been aggressive and gone up from one of these wide receivers. Of course, we haven't seen Jameson Williams yet. We haven't seen Chris Olave yet. But, you know, they stayed put. And I think that was the report that once those receivers were off the board, that's when they decided to move back and go with Kenyon Green. But pretty much everyone around them at that position on the board is looking strong. Even Jahan Dotson in Washington is looking like a really strong perimeter receiver. And those are names that you saw mock to Houston. Those are names that you kind of more expected to see on draft night. I think that the average fan could have walked up and submitted the card with just haphazard knowledge, and they probably would be going better than the Kenyon Green experiment right now for Houston. And that's it's a little tough to swallow, especially when it was supposed to be kind of that, you know, franchise altering trade with Deshaun Watson, that, hey, that the first piece of this, I don't know if we're ever going to have anything here.
Yeah. And real quick, everyone keeps on bringing up Kyle Hamilton.
I'm going to keep bringing him up. So,
okay. But like, given the current situation and how things unfolded, like Jalen Petrie is a great consolation prize. He really is. Right.
Oh, he's better. He's a better safety for today's NFL. Like you have, I mean, they're playing Hamilton in the slot. I mean, Hamilton was still all rookie. Like Hamilton's a great player, but I'm just saying you could have had a really good football player at that position. And of course, bringing in Jimmy Ward, we're fine at safety. It's not about the safety position. It's about the principle of getting a good football player on a rookie deal that brings value to the team. And it's looking like they didn't do that with the pick.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I also will wait and judge in year three and see how things unfold with with Stingley. And if he works out fine and he turns into a really good, you know, cornerback, which we saw there's definitely the potential for that after last season. And we just hope that it gets built on this season. Then obviously if CJ Stroud and Will Anderson pan out, which, you know, it's still very early on, three out of the four, you know, having three out of your four draft picks in the first round, your first 3 years as an NFL GM, that's solid, right? Like that's really good. It's the later rounds that are really going to haunt him. And I feel like we're almost headed back towards the Rick Smith days where that was kind of the case. But it's still one of those things where there's so much that has to happen between now and then that we just kind of got to wait and see. Yeah.
And I'll even hold off on the late round criticism for the players that they've selected. I'm very critical of the strategy that they've taken, which is, I mean, they really should have had more rookies and second year players on this team last year. You should have drafted more guys in 2021, drafted more guys in 2022. When you look at teams that are rebuilding right now with some of the smarter GMs in the league, the Los Angeles Rams have 12 rookies. The Indianapolis Colts have 12 rookies because they know they're not winning anything this year. And you just want – you know, the Houston Texans should have more contributors than they do right now. And because they do not, that is why it is so hard when a pick like Kenyon Green misses, because you did not buy yourself any margin for error at the margin of the roster. So, and, you know, I could talk about Caserio a lot. I think I talked about it a lot this offseason, but I do want to kind of pivot the topic to one other point. Storm, what are your thoughts on what this spells for the 2023 offense and for the development of CJ Stroud?
You know, it may not be the worst thing, right? Like if we have, if they're able to find somebody, if Josh Jones or they re-sign Dieter or they make another move for, let's throw out the name, Dalton Risner, you know, there's a potential for that as well, right? And so we may end up being, you know, it may end up not being the worst thing if Kenyon was going to be out there and, you know, be in a turnstile. And if he wasn't really going to develop like they needed him to. So it may actually kind of help CJ and give him the opportunity to have a little bit better protection in front of him. One thing that I'm kind of upset, down about is how well Kenyon was doing in the run game. And I hate to see how that may impact Damian Pierce. I know that's another topic we can talk about later, but I think CJ is going to be fine. I trust Bobby Slowick and the guys on the offensive staff to kind of scheme things and protect him as well. And I think that was going to be their game plan anyway, before Green went down, that they were going to do what they could to protect CJ and his development and, you know, make things as easy as possible for him when it comes to attacking a defense and just taking what they're going to give him. So, I mean, it may not be the worst thing that Green's not out there. If we're being really honest.
Yeah. I mean, I agree with you in the short term. I don't think it's a huge deal, because I'm not sure that Green was ready to be even an average guard this upcoming season, much less an above average guard. I mean, it wouldn't surprise. Who's the free agent you were tweeting at that you just brought up his name? I'm blanking on
Dalton Risner.
I also just felt like telling the audience that you did shoot him a tweet, and he did tweet replied to the public saying that he was ready. So I wouldn't mind seeing a Dalton Risner join this group and solidify that spot on the line. I don't think Juice Scruggs will be out for very long. It sounds like he might miss the first 2-3 weeks of the season, worst case scenario. His short-term development I'm not worried about. I do question – I mean, one of the most exciting things when they took Juice in the second round – and I think you saw this tweet from every major Texans or Houston Twitter account or outlet, really, was that there was the opportunity suddenly for Houston to have the same five offensive linemen for the entirety of CJ Stroud's rookie contract. You know, you had, Kenyon Green was going to be under contract for three more seasons plus the fifth-year option if you wanted it. You've got Juice Scruggs on a 4-year deal. Tytus Howard's on a 3-year deal. Shaq Mason's on a 3-year deal. Laremy Tunsil's on a 3-year deal. You could have had this continuity that otherwise is not. I mean, really, you've sacrificed that. And I do question also, are you going to be able to find not just average, but above average guard play? And how much is it going to cost you to do that when you're already sinking really significant financial resources into this? And of course, you know, some things opened up today in ways we weren't expecting. Desmond King obviously saved a good chunk of change, as did Christian Kirksey. It might open the door to bring in a guy like Risner, and it'll certainly save money going into the next year. But it opens up some questions about, can this line be the unit that you were projecting it forward into the future for me?
Yeah, and you know, the cap space thing, I guess we could talk about that a little bit too. It's not as much as people were anticipating. There's only about $11 million sitting there right now when you account for practice squad call-ups, stuff like that. That's another topic for another time. But I mean, there's the possibility of some shuffling some things around, and you know, we'll see what happens. So it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it moving forward, especially if Juice Scruggs is only going to be out for a short period of time. So I have confidence that moving forward, with the amount of assets and money that's been invested in that line, they're going to be able to make some things work, and they're going to be able to, you know, be competitive at least.
Yeah, absolutely. I guess you already went through the names. Do you think we could go back through that list and sure, kind of talk some of them? Because even I realized like Michael Dieter, when he got cut, my initial tweet said, you know, Dieter's next man up. I actually thought he looked all right on that preseason drive. Obviously, mm-hmm. he needs backups. But, you know, someone tweeted at me in the next minute, by the way, he got cut. So would the thing be good for the audience? It could be good for me as well if we kind of walked through some of those names.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I had the list pulled up here, and I can pull it back up real quick. So, and some of these are going to be not that big a deal, but I'll try to hit on like the bigger ones. Thomas Booker, recent draft pick. That one kind of hurts a little bit, right?
And this is a fair question. You know, someone else texted me about that today. What do you expect from a rookie fifth round, from a second year fifth round pick? Like, to me, that's not a roster lock guy for his whole rookie contract, right? Like, for me, everything after the fourth round, I'm like, it's a bit random. Yeah. You don't know if the player ever starts for you, much less plays meaningful snaps.
Khalil Davis.
I mean, a lot of people really liked him. What were your thoughts?
I did too. And I thought he did really well in camp and he was making some noise. And I thought he did decent enough in the preseason games and the snaps that he had to potentially lock up a spot. And I get it that there's some veteran guys ahead of him on this roster that, you know, kind of upset him and unseated him. So it's not that big a deal. I mean, it was one of those ones where you're seeing some things that he's doing in camp and you're like, you know, you just kind of had a hope for him. So,
yeah. And I do feel like some people will get brought back tomorrow. I think right now they're only carrying four defensive tackles. It's going to be, I mean, Malik Collins, Sheldon Rankins, and even Hassan Ridgeway to an extent felt like locks to make this team.
Yeah.
And then I thought they'd carry five. Right now they're carrying four. Kurt Heinisch makes the team over Khalil Davis and over Roy Lopez, who we'll talk about in a little bit. Do you think there's a chance they bring in a fifth defensive tackle, or do you expect to see this group of four?
No, I think they definitely need to, just for depth purposes, man. It's a really that was one of the key pieces in D'Amico's defense in San Francisco, is having the bodies to be able to rotate through there, given the situation, down and distance, whatever it is. I think it's definitely something to keep an eye on. That's that position with four people is not viable, really. I feel like there's got to at least be a fifth person brought in. So, Garrett Dokes, one of the running backs, that's a crowded room, and I didn't really think that he was going to be here. Kobe Francis kind of surprised me a little bit with Desmond King being let go.
I mean, you and I talked about this yesterday. I just didn't think that the fringe corners were going to make the roster like even when King got let go. I guess, well, the big one, because we had to talk about this in conjunction, you did not expect Shaq Griffin to make the roster. I guess that probably went into your factoring on Francis. But for me, I kind of assumed that, you know, Griffin was a lock out there with the perimeter. And once Tavier had the slot job from King, I don't know. I just didn't expect him to carry an additional corner there. Especially, I think Graylin Arnold made the team as well, and he has some flexibility to come down.
Yeah. Yeah, I figured he was going to be the one, you know, because Desmond King leaving surprised me. And so I figured that Jacoby had done enough to kind of unseat him and save the team some money. But obviously not. They're just going to roll Tavier Thomas in the nickel and see how things go. And they may just roll Petrie down a little bit, use Ward in some different ways. And, you know, they can get creative with some of the guys they've got. Let's see. Dalton Keene, no. Jimmy Morrissey, I mean, maybe with the news from today, I mean, that one kind of, you know, they need some depth, but, you know, obviously they're a little more comfortable with the guys they just traded for, with Josh Jones and and Green. So
okay, why can we let's talk about Kendrick Green. This is a good time for that as any. What I've seen Lance Zierlein defending this, he's brought in a little optimism. You know, and I think for anyone watching that hasn't caught up with everything today, I'm sorry I just keep throwing names out there that are related, but, you know, all these moves are interconnected in one way or another. You're really picking guys against each other. And part of when you see guys like Dieter or Jimmy Morrissey not make the roster, it happens in conjunction with today. Houston went ahead and traded a 2025 6th-round selection to the Pittsburgh Steelers for Kendrick Green. Not Kenyon, Kendrick Green. He was originally a 3rd-round pick to them. He was the center who was drafted to replace Pouncey. He actually took his number, too. Bold thing to do.
Very.
And, he's probably most famous right now for Big Ben on his podcast this month. He was like, I love the guy, but can you believe our GM picked him to protect me my last season? He was working out at fullback this season, pretty much considered a lock that he was not going to make the roster. He dressed out for 0 games last year, was inactive every single time, despite being present on the 53. What'd you think of that trade for Houston? What do you think some reasons for optimism might be?
At first I was, you know, I didn't know about the Juice Scruggs injury at first. So it kind of threw me for a loop, right? Like, why all of a sudden are we trading for another offensive lineman? And we didn't know the significance of Kenyon Green either. So that was, it was kind of one of those things where it's like, what are we doing this for? There's obviously got to be some reasoning behind it. So, and you see a lot of Steelers fans' reactions on social media that they were super grateful. You found the clip of Ben in the podcast talking about it. Start to look at the numbers. He didn't play a single snap last season. He was inactive in every single game. He was playing fullback in practice and in camp and stuff like that. So it's like, you know, what did we see in this guy? And then a couple hours ago, Lance puts out his tweets. Mm-hmm. And when it comes to offensive line evaluations, Lance is one of the guys that I really like to look at, because he's oftentimes very right when it comes to guys. And I'm going to read Lance's tweet off here for people that didn't get to read it. Kendrick Green is an athletic offensive guard center who is a plus fit for outside zone, which makes perfect sense for the Texans. Scruggs can play center guard, but is less athletic on the second level. This gives Houston competition along the interior and provides immediate help if Kenyon Green doesn't come around. So, and that was before we knew about Green. So obviously Lance says that, and then short while later we find out the news about Kenyon Green. So it makes a little bit of sense, and you know, we'll see what happens with it. And one thing that I've come to realize over the last couple of years is if I really trust the coaching staff, then I've got to trust them to be able to coach guys up when it comes down to it. And a guy like this, that obviously the Steelers felt had the ability to play in this league when they picked him, and the Texans feel confident enough to give up, albeit it's a 2025 first-round pick, they feel confident enough that he could be a guy that can kind of be that stopgap for them for a little bit. So,
yeah, I mean, my only question would be, and I do believe that Lance did a good job discussing that the zone run game and what Bobby Slowick is trying to do here, it's going to fit his skill set and how he plays a lot better. And I can buy that. My one question might be why we felt compelled to trade for him when this is a guy that wasn't going to make the roster by all accounts. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I mean, that's why you have the scouting department. I bet they liked him coming out too. And if he's a good scheme fit, I'm willing to give it a shot, especially that, I mean, the offensive line went from, I think, one of the – probably the most certain thing on the team other than the defensive backs to now a pretty big question mark at those two spots. So I have no problem with them taking chances to try to protect C.J. Stroud this season. Okay, so we're on the same page. It was hard to get excited about. Guys, if you're on Twitter, X, go look up some of the Steelers fan pages' reactions about getting rid of Kendrick Green. You will laugh. They're pretty funny. But, Jimmy Morrissey, interesting cut in that context.
Yeah. Garrett Wallow?
I mean, did you ever think he was making it this year?
I mean, you tried to sell me on him, man.
I tried to sell you on him a year ago. Rewind the clock 1 year ago. I did. Because he was Henry Toa a year ago. He was the guy that Nick Caserio was coming on Sports Radio 610 and saying unprompted, hey, by the way, talking about guys taking a second year leap, you know, he's Garrett Wallow is our best one. He's going to make a difference this year. So, yeah, you know, I was ready to get excited about Garrett Wallow.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I had to do it. Like, when I searched his name today to try to find a picture to post, like, that article was the first thing that popped up, and I couldn't help but laugh. So,
Well, that is one of the painful components of writing articles frequently. You know, you got to put your opinions out there and it's stuck there forever. So me buying into the, I mean, and also, you know, there wasn't a lot to be excited about last year. You know, Garrett Wallow, why not? You know, year two linebacker they traded up for. But I mean, you were actually at camp, but anyone I talked to that was at camp, it sounded like there was pretty much no chance he was cracking in this group, and that was early. I mean, that was evident early on.
Yeah. Michael Dieter, that one kind of surprised a lot of people. I think it caught a lot of people off guard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't get it. I really don't get it, to be honest.
So I feel like that's probably one of the ones that, because he's not susceptible to waivers, that – if they need to make an IR move, that's one of the guys that's going to, you know, taking off the 53, they make their IR move and then they bring him back type of thing. And I would hope, especially if they're rolling him out there with the ones in week three of the preseason and he played well. Yeah. So, and D'Amico even said as much in his press conference that he had earned the by putting in the work and he earned those snaps. So I feel like that's going to be one of those ones. I feel like they've kind of already told us as much. And then it's just, we're just waiting for them to make it official, really.
Yeah. And I mean, and one of the interesting caveats I thought about today with when you have moved on from King and Kirksey, I think collectively that freed up about $8 million in cap space, is you can incentivize these guys to be willing to be the person who gets cut initially from the 53 and they'll come back with a bit of a pay rate. Like, it wouldn't surprise me if it's something a little more friendly or at least very similar to what it was. They have the cash to bring people back and to be a little aggressive with people who do hit free agency now.
And they may end up making it, you know, I don't remember what his initial contract was when he was here, but they may end up, you know, if he was only here for a year, they may end up making it a 2-year deal, you know, he did them a favor. They may do him a favor now and, you know, kind of bring him a little bit of a security moving forward.
So he was on a 1-year deal worth $1.2 million.
Okay. So yeah, if they bring him back at 2 years and $3 million, you know, $1.5 million a year, they give him a little bit of a pay raise. You know, they just call it a day. It's one that's how this business works. Yeah. So
I would not be surprised to see him back at all.
Yeah. So we talked at length about Desmond King already. I feel like that's maybe one of the ones where they approached him to take a pay cut and he maybe said no.
I had not heard. Is that something you?
That's just speculation. Okay. Me and Troy from Texans Cap talked about that a little bit, and you know we were just kind of spitballing and seeing you know what are the different scenarios could have been. So I feel like that's just one of those. You know, Troy brought that up that maybe that was the case.
It is interesting that from a football standpoint, I did not expect Desmond King to get cut. I just thought he did everything I thought he was the best slot corner on the team. I thought he added plus value on special teams. I didn't think they'd value the salary cap flexibility for the season the way that they did. So, I mean, yeah, it does make you wonder if there was something behind the scenes like a contract alteration that was discussed that caused them to go separate ways.
Yeah. Christian Kirksey, I think we all saw that one coming from a mile away.
God bless. So
not a single snap in the preseason, barely. I don't even know if he was on the field for OTAs and stuff like that, but saved a significant amount of cap space. So see you later.
$5.5 million towards the cap for anyone listening. That's a player or two during the year that you need, or it can grease the wheels on a trade. If you want to go get somebody, it's not insignificant.
No, definitely not. Let's see. Jacob Martin.
Is he coming back?
I don't know.
Like,
I mean, I didn't see that coming. I was surprised when they held on to some of the other guys over him. And I just, you know, I figured that he did enough this, you know, during the preseason to earn a spot. So we'll see. I mean, maybe another one of those moves where they just kind of got to let him take a week off and then bring him back type of thing.
I mean, by all accounts, he'd had a fabulous camp. He'd worked his way from someone who was considered fringe roster or unlikely to someone who, I mean, you're hearing it from us right now. I fully expected Jacob Martin to be on this roster. an unofficial depth chart had him listed as a second string guy, I think anyone watching the team would have said, oh, hey, he's your fourth edge rusher after Jerry Hughes. So, yeah, a little puzzling to me. I have a hard time believing this is the final roster that we're going to have entering week one at Baltimore. So I want to watch for guys like Martin to potentially resurface.
Yeah, yeah, I think there's definitely a chance for it. Couple tight ends, actually three tight ends, Mason Schreck, Eric Tomlinson, and Nick Van Nett. I don't know what's going to happen with Brevin. He's still not healthy. He's had a hamstring injury since like week one of training camp. And so
I don't know.
No, and that's the biggest thing, right? Like this guy, we've seen the athleticism and we've seen what he can do on the field, but the best ability in the NFL is availability. And if you're not available, you have no value. So,
tell me if I'm being harsh. I think I've been ready to call it on the Brevin Jordan experiment. There's just no reason he should be this much of an unknown commodity going into year three when you had ample opportunity to make an impact in 2021. And especially last year when, guys like OJ Howard come in and after a week – they've like jumped you on the depth chart somehow significantly. I'm ready to call it. I don't think his skill set particularly fits. We're going to run some heavy personnel. I wrote about that in an article last week. We are top five in 12 and 13 personnel usage in the preseason. I want to see if that held actually. I need to go look now that we've got the data from the New Orleans game, but I think they're wanting to go tight and heavy. They can create some mismatches as they try to help their run game. And I'm not sure he fits into that picture. So, would it surprise you if we claimed a tight end tomorrow?
I was hoping they were going to get the guy. Was it from Denver?
Albert O.
I was really hoping that was going to happen, man. But there's Kroll, the guy from the Saints. We saw him last night. He gasped just for like 100 something yards. So I was maybe hoping that. That happens. I don't know what his size is. I don't know if he really fits the makeup that they're looking for. Let's see.
Yeah, I got to go through tomorrow morning and look at everyone who got cut and think about good waiver targets. But yeah, Albert O. I'm not even going to try to say his full name. You guys probably had him in fantasy at some point, played for the Denver Broncos the last few seasons. He was someone I would have been pretty excited about. Four waivers, obviously. Howie Roseman and the Eagles swept in at the last minute. I think they swapped a six-rounder for him and a seventh. That's just the stuff I'm talking about. The good teams, they're always finding ways to improve at the margins, and they give themselves good chances like that. It'll be fun to see him in Philadelphia. But no, these tight ends, like guys like Mason Schreck getting cut, it didn't surprise me. It did surprise me that Brevin Jordan made it over those guys. And that also, I'm curious, did he make it to go on the 4-week physically unable to perform list? Did he make it until they see who they can get on waivers? I'm a little interested to see how that shakes out for the final roster.
And so, like, if Kroll, I don't know, I'm probably butchering his name, man. I feel bad. Lucas, I found him. So he's 25. He's 6'6", 260 pounds. That's a big boy.
Oh, Lord.
But he's athletic. So I feel like that might be something that they may take a flyer on him, man.
I wouldn't hate it. I'd be okay for them to bring in someone new to the building at that position that's got some upside. You tried it last year with OJ Howard, didn't work out. If they believe in Brevin Jordan, I'm down to watch it. I just have a hard time really envisioning the scheme fit here, and would not be surprised if they went in a different direction.
Yeah. So one website has him at 253. He ran a 4.64. Oh.
Yeah, there'll be some good options. Every player goes through waivers, and like every waiver is individual. So we have the second priority on every player that has not accrued 4 years of service tomorrow. So basically, Houston, anybody that they want, unless Chicago coincidentally wants them, they will certainly join D'Amico Ryan's team here.
Yeah.
And I think they'll – I mean, they used it last year. They got Tyler Johnson. I think O.J. – no, O.J. Howard signed, if I recall. He was just a straight-up free agent signing. But Tyler Johnson was the big grab last year that we were excited about. Never really caught on after he left Tampa Bay. But I expect them to kind of wield that waiver advantage again this year.
Yeah. He had a 9.06 relative athletic score too.
Okay.
And I feel like they value that.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking this guy up.
Yeah.
Okay. We got to talk about Roy Lopez. I don't even know if that's the next guy on your list, but I kind of do want to.
You know what? I don't know if he made. Hold on. Roy Lopez. He's not on here. He's not on the wire for today.
Oh, are they trying to move him to IR? Or I thought they waived him yesterday.
Oh, you know what? This is only veterans. Sorry.
Okay.
So there's probably another list. I got to find it. Yeah, he's not on this list, but he was let go. Yeah, okay, that was just veterans. So, yeah, he's let go. That one kind of – that. I mean, it didn't really shock me at all. He was always with the twos and the threes during camp, man. He just – six-round pick, right?
Yeah, six-round pick. I mean, probably someone that had more – sentimental value to the fan base, is just a fun guy, fun player from a time when there was no excitement around the team. Yeah. Than he had as actual value as an NFL player, but still someone who I thought was really competing for that fourth defensive tackle spot. And of course, all of this gets a little more complicated when you and I both expected them to carry five defensive tackles into the season. With, I mean, you have to rotate those guys against the run. It's just a matter of, I mean, You have to have bodies. It's really hard being on the interior there. Malik Collins, Sheldon Rankins are your two guys, but you need depth. You have to be ready to take injuries there, ready to substitute people. When they only took four, I think that complicated things quite a bit, and it left guys like Roy and like Khalil Davis on the outside looking in.
Yeah. That was really about it. Like, I don't think there's anybody else we really need to speak on.
Let's see. Let me check if I tweeted about anyone today. My mentions are kind of hell right now because I brought up Kyle Hamilton. People are not – people read we could have drafted Kyle Hamilton as it's as if I said Kyle Hamilton is better than Jalen Petrie. And it's like, no, I did not say that. Mm-hmm. Nobody said that. I'm just saying we could have had a consensus top 10 guy in the class who also made first-team all-rookie. No, I mostly just tweeted a bunch of jokes about Kendrick Green today. So,
Kenyon Green.
I wouldn't joke about Kenyon Green today. I'm honestly really disappointed for Kenyon, but yeah, Kendrick.
That's the confusion.
Kendrick from.
All right, I want to talk about this real quick, and it got sent in the chat earlier, and you flat out just said like no chance. The Nick Bosa thing.
From Reddit.
Yeah,
we're gonna talk about that. There's just no way.
I mean, why not?
Okay, fine. We can talk about it.
Let's just do it. All right. So this is a Reddit post from the NFL subreddit today. Hold on.
The same subreddit that has brought lots of credible information, such as Will Levis is a lock to be the number one overall pick, or my tweet about DeAndre Hopkins. You know, lots of great verified information makes it on the NFL subreddit. So clearly a good thing for us to talk about here. I actually didn't get to read it that closely, so excited when Storm unmutes here to see what the actual post was about. But this is some nonsense, in my opinion. Also, I wish there was a way for me to read the comments right now. I'd love to see what people – Storm, is there a way for me to read the comments in the stream? Oh, there is. Oh, it's awesome. Okay, I want to pull some of these up and talk about them while Storm – handles family matters. Let's see, scrolling up to the top here. Was there some reason why we couldn't try and trade King? I mean, I'm sure they could have tried to trade Desmond King, and I think that's part of why the news came out when they did. But it might have been a favor to a player who, I mean, he was here through two really difficult seasons, largely on player-friendly contracts. I'm not surprised that they might have just agreed to part ways with him. Storm, let me know when you're ready. I'm just cutting through comments. A lot about trading King. Yeah, I don't know why they did that.
You can hear my daughter's having a meltdown in the background. So. Right, so we're going to jump back over to this real quick. So it says, inside source, 49ers may trade Nick Bosa to unnamed AFC team. Right? And so then it goes on to say, I'm the same Redditor who broke the Christian McCaffrey to 49ers trade news before it happened. This is the recent development that is happening right now, and there's been some breakdown. And basically it goes on to say that Nick Bosa has a chance to be traded to an AFC team, an unnamed AFC team, because him and the team are so far apart. He even mentions the DeForest Buckner trade. It's a very similar situation. DeForest Buckner and the 49ers were very far apart when it came to contract, and ended up getting trading to the Colts for a first-round pick. Would you trade, not 24s, because we're not going to do 24s, just for this exercise, we're going to say 25.
You're not getting him. Let's be realistic. Okay. Let's talk about an actual.
Would you trade the 24 first-round pick for Nick Bosa right now?
Yes, I would trade that because it's Cleveland's pick. But that's not the question. The question is, would you trade the 24 and the 25 and probably a day two pick and pay Nick Bosa – what is he looking for? Like $35 to $40 million a season?
You think it takes that much? You think it takes two firsts and a second?
I mean, I think it'll take at least two firsts. I mean, that's what we've seen premier defensive players go for. Let's just say it's two firsts. Would you trade the 24 and the 25 first?
No, I can't do it. I can't do it.
I'm pulling up what the reported value is on the contract.
Tony Ayo in the comments with a banger joke that says Chiefs already have Omenihu, no need for Bosa.
He's elite, obviously. So right now TJ Watt is the highest paid edge rusher in the league at $28 million APY.
Okay.
So I'm assuming, and I know Aaron Donald is getting $30 million a season. So I'm guessing it's probably like 33, 34, 35.
A year? No shot, man. There's no way he's getting more than them two.
If they're not close, I'm assuming that he would like to be the highest paid guy in the market. Fine, let's just call it 30 for the sake of argument.
That's I can't do that.
Okay. I see in the comments 35 to 40. I'm sorry I said 40. So the reason I threw out that number, and I'm now remembering where I heard that number from, they were talking about it. It might have been on the Athletic Football Show where they were talking about how Micah Parsons has an opportunity to essentially become the first $40 million defensive player when his contract expires, which will be in 3 years. But he's basically – they're like how these edge rushers should keep stacking in the next 2 years, and by the time Parsons hits the market, he'll have – probably one of the most impressive resumes for a young defensive player ever, and that he could try to become the first 40 million guy. So apologies. That's where I got that number from. It's not close for this discussion. Let's call it 30. He's that good, but this is such a ridiculous discussion because I just can't imagine them doing that. Yeah. They're not close enough to winning right now.
No, yeah, that's what I was just about to say that. Like, they're just not in a position to win right now to pull the trigger on something like that. All right, now, so just for argument's sake, would you trade a first for Chris Jones?
Yes.
Just one first, and then you have to pay him. And yes. You're not going to have to pay him nearly as much, right, because he's older.
Well, that's – no, you would. So the big problem with Chris Jones in Kansas City is they want to pay him – Quinnen Williams money, which is about $24 million a year. And he wants the Aaron Donald contract, which is a little over $30 million per year.
All right. Christian Wilkins.
Christian Wilkins I probably wouldn't trade a first round pick for him.
Really?
He doesn't generate. This is why the Dolphins won't pay him though. He's not generating. I mean, I probably would. I need to look at it, but like, you got to look at the extension that he wants. I'm assuming it's in that $24 million range, $22, $24 million. And he doesn't get the same sack values, tackle for loss values that are like the really the the value generating plays at those spots.
Okay. Chase Young, a third the next year and a fifth the year after.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, Chase Young is the perfect guy. I mean, I think there's a lot of players that fit his archetype. Someone who is really talented, flashed in the league, but been inconsistent and may not get re-signed by their future, their current team. I mean, that's the kind of guy Houston should take a chance on, because if you bring him here, you know you have the money to bring him back, and you can probably afford. I don't think Young would sign an extension before he plays out this season, because it's unlikely to benefit him when he could angle it into a huge payday. But you know that, you know, if he plays well here, he's probably going to want to stay, and you're probably going to be willing to pay him. So that's the perfect guy I would take a gamble on.
Okay. Would you do that knowing I mean, I guess, yeah, you would bring him back over. You would bring any of those guys in over Jacob Martin all day long. And Bernard would just roll to depth. I mean, it is what it is at this point. All right, enough with that. That was a pointless topic.
It was very fun.
It was fun.
Because, I love Reddit.
It's not going to happen.
I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff on Reddit that's good to talk about. Storm, I do want to ask, you know, actually, I'm going to save it. I think we're going to have a different show preview in Baltimore. We've got another week here going up to that. Let's take some time, see the roster. A lot to be excited about here. And, man, this offensive line subplot was not one that I was expecting this season.
Yeah, and now it scares me. And not that he's going to generate enough I'm going to knock on wood. I hope he doesn't generate a whole lot of pressure against the quarterback, but the run game, Clowney, you know, we know how he is in the run. And I hope they can scheme something and get Damian Pierce going and maybe Singletary and just hopefully. I'm not expecting a win. I'm going to be clear and 100% honest. I'm not expecting a win. I'm expecting a week one loss.
I mean, I think Ravens minus 9.5 is a lock. I'm taking that all day. That's going to be very unpopular in the comments. But we can talk about that more next week.
I think I said when I was on, because I did the Apollo show yesterday, I said 24-27 Baltimore. It was going to be close. Yeah, I said it was going to be close.
I would be all over that. If they played a close game, I just think I think that this is a team that is just too – I mean, there's too many veterans on it. I don't know how else to say it. They play in a lot of big games. There's a lot of continuity with coaching staff. It's one of the most dynamic quarterbacks in the NFL in a brand new scheme. Yeah. There are a lot of things that don't work towards the Texans' favor. And I've heard other guys, Landry, who does really good stuff on his channel, he thinks it's a good time to catch the Ravens because you can catch them by surprise, I guess, or before things are really – well-oiled offensively. I just think it's hard because you don't know how to project Lamar into a new scheme, and they do have some real weapons and a run game that even if the backs aren't great, you really have to respect because of Lamar Jackson and a defense that's just Roquan Smith, Patrick Queen, Jadeveon Clowney, Kyle.
Okay. Hamilton. All right. Wait. There's another name. What would you trade for Patrick Queen?
A two? Probably a two.
Okay.
I mean, he's an off ball. I mean, there's a reason they're not paying him right now. I need to look into Patrick Queen more. I know it's a name that's actually been thrown out a lot of times. And I know he looked a lot better after Roquan Smith got there. We obviously don't have Roquan, but I would need to look into
Christian Harris though, bro.
Man, I hope.
Oh, I'm sorry. I know.
Can we
talk about Christian Harris staying stride for stride with Jimmy Graham in the preseason game? That was cool to see.
Jimmy Graham is like 40 now.
I don't care. We haven't had a linebacker keep up with anybody ever. Okay. And we can go back to the Brian Cushing conversation where he even said that, like, you got to have guys that have speed and the ability to cover. And Christian showed that, like, the ability is there. So I liked it.
Yeah, I mean, God, by the way, if y'all did not watch that conversation with Brian Cushing, definitely check it out. Really, really insightful discussion on a lot of things, getting to know him as a person, but also just some fun stuff towards the middle of it about what football looks like today defensively and what linebackers are doing. He kind of joked that he would not want to be covering the way these guys have to do it. No, I mean, there's a lot to be excited about with Christian Harris. We have not had a linebacker that can cover, and he's got some freaky speed that, I mean, you kind of need with D'Amico Ryan's scheme, and hopefully it can buy some margin to try things defensively with these defensive backs that maybe you otherwise couldn't pull off. But all right, I think at this point we're kind of rambling. We're coming up on 59 minutes here. How many do we have watching right now?
35.
All right, I'll take that, guys. Thank you so much for listening. Storm, I'm gonna wrap this one up if that's okay. Again, this is another Texans podcast. Please like, share, subscribe. It all helps us with the YouTube algorithm and trying to get our show to more listeners. Obviously, I mean, if you missed any parts of the show, feel free to rewind here. You can also find us anywhere you listen to podcasts. This will be up on Spotify in the morning. Since I was late, I didn't get to introduce myself. My name is John Crumpler. I'm the lead analyst over at the Texans Wire. You can read all my work and our team's great work at texanswire.usatoday.com. You can follow me on X at John H. Crumple. X is so – why do they name it X? It's such a terrible website name, but whatever.
Have you seen the vehicles this man designed? Like, come on. Like, you're really questioning that? I want to do one more exercise with you real quick because the Apollo guys did it with me the other day, and it was super fun.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I'm going to read off the schedule, and without thinking, you got to tell me win or loss.
Okay.
Just right off the top of the head. Okay. All right. So let me get the schedule pulled up. I don't have it memorized. I'm sorry. I'm not a super freak like some of these people. All right. Week one, Baltimore.
Loss.
Week two, Indy.
Win.
Week three, Jacksonville.
Loss.
Week four, Pittsburgh.
Loss.
Week five, Atlanta.
Win.
Week six, New Orleans.
I'll say win here.
Week eight, Carolina.
Loss.
Bryce fan. Week nine.
It's not a Bryce thing. It's a defense thing. I really like Evero in that defense. I also needed to pick them to lose one of those games. And realistically, if I could go back, like when I look at it, I would pick them to lose to Atlanta and win the next two. But I'm not allowed to do that in this exercise.
Okay. Tampa.
Win.
Cincinnati.
Loss.
Yeah.
Bad loss. Humbling.
Cardinals?
Win. That'll be a feel-good game.
Jacksonville.
Loss.
Broncos?
I'm going to go loss for now. But I Jets? Think there's a lot of – I'm going to say loss.
Tennessee?
Win.
Browns.
Win.
Tennessee.
Loss. Tony, I see your comments. No, I'm not high on Baker Mayfield. I think Tampa Bay is going to be a disaster. Colts, I think we'll go 2-0 against the Colts.
So you have them at 8 wins.
I'm at 8? That feels right. I mean, I think 6.5 is the right line, and there are definitely some games there that were 50-50, like the Cleveland game. Mm-hmm. Where I'm like, yeah, I'll take them against Cleveland. It's a kind of a coin toss right now. But I think 6.5 is the right number, and it's really easy to see 6 wins, but it's also easy to see them taking one or two that they shouldn't have and get into 7 or 8. So I wish you bet you 300 in the Jags game. Guys, look, I like Jacksonville a lot. I mean, I need to see a lot of things still. I gotta see a lot of things with Jacksonville. I think we could split with them. But, I mean, everyone says we kind of own the Jags, right? But ever since Trevor Lawrence became a supernova, we've seen one game, and it was one of the worst beatdowns that we saw last year. I think it was, what, 30-3? Was that the last game against the Jacksonville Jaguars last year?
Something like that.
I mean, our defense has to find ways to stop them. I do think that the strengths of our team aligns very well with the strengths of Jacksonville teams. Like, their best unit is the passing game, and our best unit's going to be the defensive secondary. And then their pass rush is terrible. So if their defense is just if their defense isn't good, which we don't expect, if Trayvon Walker doesn't take a huge step forward, and then our defense can really find some stops and Trevor makes some of the boneheaded mistakes that are kind of ingrained within the greatness that he shows. Yeah, I think we could split with Jacksonville, but for now, I'm inclined to take that unit and that ascending team over us.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I had him at 7-10, so we're both right there. So
perfect.
All right, so we'll I don't know if we'll do a show next week, given that we don't play until September 10th. So we'll see, you know, we'll kind of just see what happens unless anything major happens over the next 10 days.
I do think that we need to do a preview show for the game. So we will, okay. We should record, because I want to do some deep dive on who are the Ravens starters, what is the depth of that team look like. I'll do a little bit on like what is Monken doing, just some base research that we can talk to you guys about. What do we expect? What are the key matchups? If Houston's going to win, what are the key matchups that kind of favor Baltimore that we're going to have to protect if we're not going to lose the game? So let's definitely plan to do a Baltimore preview episode.
Okay. Yeah. We'll figure it out. Yeah. We can make it work. And then, yeah, man, great show.
Yeah. Wait, Storm, where can the people find your work for anyone listening on Spotify or maybe people on YouTube who are seeing the show for the first time?
Yeah, on Twitter at PatrickStormHTX, just like it says right. I've always wanted to try to do this. It doesn't work. Right here on the screen. Same thing on Instagram. And then in both bios is a link to my Substack and other stuff. So, you know, guys, feel free to check that out. And John, you, Twitter?
Yeah, at John H. Crumpler on Twitter, at Texans Doc on Instagram. Or I don't think anyone's going to use Threads, so I'm not even going to talk about that.
Yeah.
No, thank God. I like Twitter. I like Twitter. I do agree, Jerry, Zay, OBJ matchups versus Sting. Some good early tests there, and I think they're matchups that aren't too – or I guess that neither of those guys are too, like – I mean, I'm trying to think of the word here. They're not too challenging. Like, they're really good players, but they're not, like, elite guys where I'm worried. So those are matchups where I think, hey, Sting, if you're going to have a big year, go ahead and show it here.
Yeah.
Y'all, go Texans. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll be back next week with a preview for our first game against the Baltimore Ravens.